The bar is closed. The customers have left, and you're left alone to clean up. You get the faint smell of flowers, which starts to grow stronger. You carry on with your job and go and clean near the fireplace. As you approach the fireplace, you see a woman just standing there. You try and speak to her, but she ignores you. You move closer to her, trying to get her attention, but again, she ignores you. After a few minutes, she starts walking towards the corridor. You follow her, but she disappears. Welcome to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. I'm Clem Dalloway, and this episode is about the Black Horse Pub in the ancient town of Cirencester. Cirencester is famous for being an important town during the Roman era, along with St. Albans and Colchester. There was once a Norman castle in the area, around Castle Street, Park Lane, and Blackjack Street. It may have been built during a civil war known as the Anarchy by the Empress Matilda around 1141. After the death of William Adelin, the only legitimate son of King Henry II, the throne should have been passed on to his daughter, Matilda, but it was opposed by her cousin, Stephen. It's believed that Stephen's army destroyed the castle and it was never rebuilt. Now on Castle Street stands the Black Horse Inn, which was built during the 16th century, and is likely to be the oldest public house in Cirencester. The Black Horse closed its doors on the 3rd of March, 1922. The King's Arms, that stood in the adjacent building, closed its doors in 1924. In 1927, both buildings were reopened after the Cirencester Brewery Company knocked them into one building, renaming it as the Black Horse Commercial Hotel. In 1933, a Mr. and Mrs. Bower were the licensees of the pub, and they had a story that hit the headlines after a ghost was witnessed in one of the rooms upstairs. On Sunday the 13th of August, the licensee's niece, Ruby Bower, was staying at the pub. Around midnight, when Ruby was sleeping, she woke up to see a woman gliding across the room. A newspaper at the time reported the following account on the 18th of August, which read, "Ruby retired to bed around the usual time. No restlessness assailed her, and she fell asleep. Suddenly, about midnight, she found herself wakeful, uneasy, and fearful. Terror overcame her as she opened her eyes and found the room flooded in a green light. A slight rustling in one corner of the room impelled her gaze in that direction. Her horror increased as she beheld an apparition in the shape of a stout old lady with an evil face and grim expression, gliding slowly across the floor. Ruby described the old lady as wearing a fawn-coloured silk dress that rustled as the spectre moved, a white apron and a white mop cap. The next morning, Ruby told her uncle and auntie about what she had seen on the previous night. They examined the room to find nothing unusual, until they noticed that the name James had been etched upside down into one of the window panes. The licensees said that it wasn't there before, and they'd been there for 2 years. The Gazette wrote, "Disbelievers would say that the writing on the window was there before Sunday, the night of the ghost's visitation. But the landlord of the hotel is confident that it was not there previously. since he and his wife had frequently cleaned the window in question. It is inconceivable that they would not have noticed it. Apparently, the scratches formed part of an attempt to cut a signature into the glass, and curiously enough, the scratching is obviously new. Not having assumed the dark appearance common to cuts that had been in glass for some time. After the Gazette published the first article, they decided to write another after they invited a medium to investigate the property. The medium was said to have no prior knowledge of the pub or its whereabouts. When the medium arrived at the pub, she said that they were surrounded by people dressed in brown and white cowls. She told the landlady that the original entrance was in a different place to where it is now. She continued to show her the original entrance, which Mrs. Bauer confirmed. One of the ground rooms and two of the rooms above it gave the medium a bad feeling, and she refused to enter them. The Gazette reported the following. She seemed to wither, her back bowed, and her left leg was twisted inwards. The fingers of her right hand twisted and grasped some strange object. Her voice was that of an old woman. Her words came slowly. "I feel sad," she murmured. "Very, very sad. I have a terrible pain in my leg. I cannot walk properly. I have a stick in my hand. I tap on the floor with it." Still limping, the medium went from room to room until she finally straightened her back and became almost her normal self. Although, throughout the rest of the proceedings, she was unable to straighten her leg, and her foot was twisted into a grotesque position. When she entered the room where Ruby had witnessed the ghost, the medium said that the room wasn't where the haunting was taking place, but in one of the rooms that she refused to enter. She said that she picked up on an old man as well as the old lady, and that she caused him some harm while alive. That could have been the cause of his death. The medium left instructions on how to exorcise the spirit from the property. 3 white flowers had to be laid in room 3 at 3 p.m. on the third day of the month, and the room had to be closed for up to 3 days. There have been sightings of the old lady since, so the exorcism obviously didn't have any effect. Unfortunately, in 1992, the window frame that held the etched glass rotted away and the glass fell to the ground and smashed. On the 11th of July 1996, a local newspaper reported that an old man confessed to the etchings on the window. Mr. Jack Court wrote to the newspaper and admitted that he was responsible for scratching his name in the window. He said, "I reckon the lady in question must have had a few too many." He explained that his childhood playroom had been an attic in the King's Arms, which closed in 1924. It and the Black Horse, which had then been closed for some years, were knocked into one larger pub, and it was my old playroom where this lady was staying in. The mysterious smell of lavender is often smelt near the pub's hearth. The ghost of a former cleaner who loved to spray lavender polish around the fireplace is thought to haunt the place. A barmaid who was working in the Black Horse in the 1980s was clearing up one night after the customers had left the bar when she noticed the fragrant smell of lavender. She carried on clearing the tables, but when she went near the fireplace, there was a woman standing between the hearth and the chair. She spoke to the woman, but she completely ignored her. She moved closer, trying to get her attention, and she still ignored her. Then she walked off across the barroom and into the corridor. The barmaid followed her, but then she entered the corridor. The woman had gone. She looked all over the pub and couldn't find her. She alerted the landlord, who who came from the cellar to search the place, but there was no one around. Thank you for listening to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. If you enjoy this channel, please subscribe and give me a thumbs up. It's very appreciated. You can find more information about episodes on the website, ghosttales.co.uk, or you can log on to the Facebook page, facebook.com/ghosttalespodcast. You can also find me on Instagram at ghosttalespodcast. All music, research, writing, production, art, and sound effects are all my own work.